Now, any more boys and girls just want to come to the front before we begin? There's been a couple of occasions in the past where in one service, I've given both the children's talk and I've given the sermon, and people have come afterwards and said they really enjoyed the children's talk, but they've not mentioned the sermon. I don't know whether that says more about the children's talk or more about the sermon. Maybe someone can enlighten me afterwards if I'm brave enough. Well, this morning it's kind of half and half, really. I guess this is a children's talk for big kids as well. Now, I want to just mention a few things as we begin. We had read from the Bible for us some interesting words. Before we come to those, let me just ask you, now, boys and girls, do you know what it is when you're trying to describe something, you might say, well, that is as quiet as a, or that is as fast as a, or that is as big as a. If you wanted to say something is as quiet as a, what might you say? What's quiet? What would you say?
It's as quiet as silence. As quiet
as silence. That's very good. What might you say?
As quiet as a mouse.
If someone can run really, really fast, you might say, they're as fast as a cheetah. If someone grows up to be really big and strong, you might say, they're as strong as a
lion.
Have you had to do things in school like that sometimes when you're writing, say something is as big as that or as fast as that? Yes. Yes, now. Now, the Bible does exactly the same thing sometimes. But in the passage that we had read before, it talks about a stone. A stone. Now, this stone is describing a man. Have you ever heard anyone described as a stone before? Well, the Bible does. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's written by a man called Isaiah. Now, he lived 700 years before Jesus was around. And he was a prophet. God spoke to Isaiah and God spoke to all the people. Because you see, back then, they didn't have the Bible. Now, today, if we want to know what God needs to say to us, we just open our Bibles. But back then, they didn't have a Bible like this. And so God spoke to the people. One of the people he spoke through was Isaiah. And in fact, all Isaiah's words are in our Bibles today. So that's great. So we know what God is saying to us. And it was Isaiah who talked about a stone. And we know for certain that when Isaiah was talking about a stone, he was talking about the Lord Jesus. And we know that because in the New Testament, one of the apostles, Peter, actually quotes this verse and says, it's talking about Jesus. So we've got no doubts whatsoever that this one verse that we're going to think about this morning is talking about the Lord Jesus. And we can learn some very important things. And we're going to learn three things. That's the verse, and here are the three things that we're going to learn. When Jesus came, God promised that he would be a tried, that means a tested stone, we'll talk about that in a minute, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. And then it says, whoever believes in Jesus will never be disappointed. They'll never be disappointed. The words it uses in our Bibles is, will not act hastily. Well, that means sometimes if you make a very quick decision, you regret it afterwards. But this is one decision you'll never regret if you believe in the Lord Jesus. So, these are the three things we're going to look at. Three things that talk about the Lord Jesus. Now, he's described as a stone. Now, who's ever been on the beach and found pebbles and thrown them into the sea? Yeah, so you know what that is. Now, that's not the kind of stone that Isaiah is talking about. It's more like this kind of stone. Let me just show you a second and put this up here. I'll put that there. And let me just lift. Who's ever seen a stone that kind of shape? How would a stone get to be that kind of shape? How would that happen? Do you know? Do you know, Hugh? Sorry? Tools! How does a stone get to be like that? No. No. A man gets a hammer and a chisel, and he chisels away and he chisels away, and eventually he shapes the stone like that. Now, why might you want a stone to be that shape? What might you want to do with it? You might. Why else might you want a stone to be that shape? What might you want to do with it? Build something with it. That's right. So it's like a stone that's been shaped so that you can build it into a wall. If you had lots of stone, if that was stone, I wouldn't be able to lift it, would I? But if you had lots of stones that had all been shaped like that, you'd be able to build a very big, strong wall with that stone and all the others. And when the Bible talks about Jesus being a stone, it's talking about a stone like that that's been shaped and made useful. So that's the kind of stone the Bible's talking about. Now, let's go on and think about a few things. It's said that Jesus is a tried stone or a tested stone. What does that mean? Let me just do something with you a second. Now then, I've got two ropes here. I need two volunteers to come and hold this one. One, Nathan, you hold that end. You hold that end. Okay. And then I need two other volunteers to come and hold this one. Hugh, let's give you one end. Just nearly there. This is a big rope, this one, isn't it? Look, how much rope? Yeah, Hugh, you hold that end for me. Who's going to hold this end? Nathan, you come and hold this end. It's a big rope, this, isn't it? Goodness me, can you hold that end? Can you walk over there and pull it tight? Out? Wow. Now then, now let me tell you about these two ropes. I keep these two ropes in my car. Now, you may think that's a strange thing to do, but there's been occasions when these two ropes have been very, very handy. Now, let me ask you a question. If you knew someone was stuck and you needed to tow them, which of these two ropes do you think you'd use? Would you use that one or would you use this one? What do you think? You'd use this one? You'd use this one? This one? Longer and stronger. Well, so you say. This one? Rebecca, this one? You'd use that one? Well, let me tell you about these two ropes. If it was me, if I had to choose which rope I would use to tow a car, I would use this one. And I'll tell you why. This rope has never been used to tow a car. Now, is it pull with me, Nathan? Does it feel quite strong? No, pull. That's it. It's quite strong, isn't it? Strong enough to pull a car. Well, it might be, but I don't know. But this rope has been used several times to tow a car. Thankfully, never my own so far. On one occasion, this rope got used to tow a great big van that had got stuck in the sand on Formby Beach. And there was a man with a 4x4 trying to pull out the van, and the rope he was using kept snapping. So I went over with my rope. See, it's handy to have a rope in your car. And they used this rope, and they pulled out a great big van that was stuck in the sand. This is a tried rope. This is a tested rope. I've got confidence in this rope because I've used it, and it's never let me down. I can't say the same for this one. I really don't know. But this is a tried, tested rope. Thank you, boys. You can put those down now. I'm going to sit down again. Now, you see, the Bible says that Jesus is a tested stone. We can be sure We don't need to have any doubts whatsoever, because he's tested. We know he will never let us down. And that's a great thing to know about this man, the Lord Jesus. He will never let you down. Now, how has Jesus been tested? Let me just bring you a couple of verses. Look at what the Bible says. It says, first of all, that the Lord Jesus was tested or tempted just as we are, but he doesn't have any sin. Isn't that great? The Lord Jesus has gone through this life just like you and me, and he's never sinned. And there's another verse from the same book of the Bible that says this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is tested. We can be certain that Jesus will never let you down. He never once failed in living a perfect life. He was obedient to God in everything. And he'll never let you down if you put your trust in him. That's a great thing to be able to say. Now, the next thing that it says about Jesus, number two, it calls him a precious cornerstone. Now then, here's my question. What is a cornerstone? The clue is in the title. What's a cornerstone? Do you know? Do you know, Daniel?
You put it on the corner.
You do. It's the stone that goes on the corner. That's quite simple, isn't it? But why would you need to do that? Well, let me tell you. Many, many years ago, when they used to build big buildings out of stone, they needed to make sure that when they build that wall is straight and true. And that when it meets this wall here, they've got exactly the right join between the two. So just imagine if you built that wall and then you build this wall, and when you try and join them together, you got the join wrong. You'd have to knock both walls down and start again. So do you know what they did? They put a cornerstone in first. Got a picture of one. Can you see the cornerstone? So that cornerstone is made really carefully by the stonemason. He gets his hammer and his chisel, and he's very, very careful. And he gets the cornerstone exactly right. They put the cornerstone in place, and then using the cornerstone, they build that wall. And then using the cornerstone, they build that wall, and they know the building is going to be absolutely right. And the two walls are going to be spot on. And the Bible says that Jesus is like a cornerstone. And it calls him a precious cornerstone. Now, there's another picture coming up. There it is. It says the Lord Jesus is a precious cornerstone. You see, if we allow Jesus to guide us and direct us in the way that we should go, the Bible says you will be living your life the way God wants you to live it. Everything will be kept straight and true in your life if you use the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone in your life. But why is Jesus described as a precious cornerstone? Let me tell you. It's because of what he had to do so that we could sort out our lives and get ourselves right again. Well, actually, that's the problem, you see. We can't sort our lives out and get ourselves right again. So Jesus had to come and do it for us. And he gave his life for us in order that he could do it. How did Jesus give his life for us? Anyone know? Yeah. He died on the cross for us. It cost him his life. Let me just read you a few verses from the Bible. Listen to this. It says, surely Jesus has carried our griefs and our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. Who knows what a transgression is? Do you know what a transgression is? Yeah, it's when you do something wrong. All the wrong things we did, Jesus died for. It says that he was punished because of our sins and died in our place. And that's why Jesus is described as a precious cornerstone. Isaiah wrote those words as well. At the bottom it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've all done our own thing and we've ignored God. And Jesus came and died for us to bring us back to God again. And the Bible says he's a precious cornerstone. Precious. Now the third thing, and this is the last one, the Bible says Jesus is a sure foundation. Anyone know what a foundation is? What's a foundation, anyone? Yeah? What something's built on. Brilliant. Now then, I've got a challenge. While I'm getting this ready, I need someone who's not too young, a little bit older, or even a teenager who fancies challenging his mum or dad. Who fancies challenging their mum or dad? Who's up for a challenge? Do you think your mum or dad will come and do it? Because you're going to have to get your mum and dad up here. Do you think so? Well, let's go for someone fairly safe. Let's go for Thomas, because I know your dad won't mind too much. Go and find your dad and bring him up here. Right, Graham, you ought to go that side. Thomas, you ought to come this side. Okay? Not up on the platform. In front of your table. Now then, what I've got here, these are some, do you know the game Jenga? Where you have to build a tower out of wooden blocks. I've counted these. You've got 27 wooden blocks. And I've counted these, and you've got, no, leave that there. You've got 27 wooden blocks. You've both got the same number of blocks. And you're going to have 30 seconds to see who can build the highest tower. The only rule is you've got to have at least 3 blocks in each layer. Okay? 3 blocks in each layer as you go up. Graham, you're going to build on a stone. Thomas, you're going to build on a cushion. And you've got 30 seconds starting now. Quick.
28, 29,
30.
Yay! A bit wonky.
Well, it's a bit wonky, but it's okay. What went wrong? Why did it fall down?
The cushion is floppy.
The cushion is floppy. That is a very, very good answer. Thank you, Thomas. Go and sit down again. Now, thanks, Graham. About a year ago, there was a really bad typhoon, which is a really bad tropical storm in a country called Taiwan. And a river flooded its banks and went pounding against buildings. And there was one building which was caught on camera. All the floodwater started to wash away the foundations from under the building. And this is what happened. Just turn those lights off. That was a hotel. And that's what happens when the foundations get washed away. The building is going to come down. We heard the story before about the man who built upon a rock and the man who built upon, well, not very good ground. And that's what happens. Look at this. And look at this. I've given that a few knocks. And it's still standing. There's two verses in the Bible I want to bring to your attention as we close. And here they are. The first one is from Proverbs, and it says this: When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. A foundation that will never be swept away. And here's a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, boys and girls and mums and dads, let me just ask you one question as I finish. Do you want something that you can build your life on that will never, never, never let you down? Do you want something in your life that you can build your life on that no matter what comes your way, you will be able to stand firm? Not because of yourself, but because of what you're standing on. Is that what you would like in your life? Because that is what the Bible offers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. You see, many things will fail us and let us down, and things will change in ways that we don't want them to change as we go through life. People who were once our friends will stop being our friends. Relationships break down. The politician's broken his promise and gone back on his election mandate. Uproar in our cities. The car won't start when it's -8 in the morning. You thought you had a secure job, but now redundancy is a real threat. It's going to cost you 3 times as much to go to university now. The train's been cancelled again because 1/2 inch of snow fell last night. The flight's been cancelled because the Spanish air traffic controllers have gone on strike. One's got paint and a broken window on Mummy's Rolls Royce because one's driver went the wrong way. Nothing can be relied upon, so it seems. Everything is uncertain, so it seems. Is there anything in this world that won't ever let me down? Is there anything in this world that won't ever disappoint me? The Bible says there is. There is something. There is one who is given as a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. And if you will believe on this Lord Jesus, you will not be disappointed. The Bible says so, and there's plenty of people in this room who could put their hands up and say, yep, you know, that really is true. I put my trust in Christ, and I've never been disappointed. I've never wished I could go back to the way it was before I trusted him. There are loads of people in this room who could say that this morning. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's all the Bible asks us to do. To come as you are and believe. What does it mean to believe? It means to understand that we've wandered away from God, like Isaiah says we have. Like those sheep who've wandered. We've turned our backs on what he says is best for us. And we do live our lives ignoring him. I live like that, don't you? Sometimes. We've pushed him away. And we've said to God, I don't need you. I don't want you. We were out in Church Street yesterday chatting to people on the street. And so many people, I don't need him. I don't want him. Thank you very much. It means to acknowledge that the world is in the mess it's in because of the mess that I'm in. And it means to confess that no matter how much I'd like to point the finger at others and say, well, he's worse than me, I'm still not right. And it means to understand that Jesus, whose life and death and existence is a proven historical fact, lived and died for a very specific reason. To take upon himself our sins and the punishment that our sins deserve. To die in our place as our substitute. To pay the penalty for our sins on the cross and to secure my forgiveness. That's why Jesus came. That's why he's a foundation that I can rely upon. And he asks us to believe, to turn away from how we have been living and to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in him as my Savior and my Lord, that from now on he will be the sure foundation upon which I will build my life, and you can be certain that if you will do that, you will never be disappointed that you did it. You have that promise from the Bible. You have that promise from the testimony of many Christian believers. If you will turn to Jesus today, who is the tried, tested, precious cornerstone, who will be the foundation for your life, you will never be disappointed. So why not believe in him? And why not do it today? We're going to conclude as we sing a hymn together.